the Lord. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Remain standing for the hymn, My Hope is Built. It'll be up on the screen. verses 12 through 14. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted in the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Remain standing for the song through it all. We'll sing it through two times."
Served in various churches in the United Methodist Church for about about 17 different years between here and Kentucky Annual Conference. And at this last year, I just recognized that the Lord had called me to a different spot, different thing. Part of it was my daughter was a junior in high school, and it was time for us to answer the bishop's call, right? And I thought to myself, no, I don't think so. I think I need to take the bullet for my family on this one. They've done a lot for me and moved with me all these years. I think it's time for me to set that aside. So, I'm still called to preach. Don't you worry. I'm still a pastor at heart. Don't you worry. I have a job now that I love, working at Scott Air Force Base as a project manager, and I'm just loving it, and it's great, and God is using me in wonderful ways there that he wouldn't have been able to or would have differently used me before. So I give you all that simply because you may have wondered at some point, you know, what happened to that guy that quit the ministry and now he's off doing something and he was sad because he couldn't find a job. Well, now I'm not sad anymore, folks, all right? So I'm good. So I'm glad to be here with you this morning. We are going to look at Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23, and we're going to look at the whole psalm. It's only 6 verses long, and now for most of you, you probably won't even need, you wouldn't, you will, but you don't need to pull out your scriptures on this one. You know this one. This is one of those that just kind of gets hung back there, right? You hear it a lot, and quite frankly, oftentimes we hear it at funerals more than we hear it anywhere else. I was going through clinical pastoral training, and we were in a hospital setting, and the chaplain there said, when you walk into a room, I don't care what you say, and he didn't care, but I'm using this for emphasis. I don't care what you say or how you say it, but do not quote the 23rd Psalm, because they will immediately think they're dying. Right? And we associate that. Why? Because it's a psalm, right? It's a psalm of comfort in the midst of sorrow and brokenness and strife, in the midst of the unknown and the difficult, in the midst of those things which are bigger and beyond ourselves. And what more is bigger and beyond our understanding than the mystery of death? Of course, God is bigger. You know that. That's a rhetorical question. But for our minds to conceive and for us to have to go through, there's nothing in this life that is more mysterious than that we come to a place where we die. Run from it. Hide from it. Do what you will. We all come. Outside of the one who has reached beyond death. And so we need comfort when it comes to those times. But it's not a death psalm, okay? It's not a funeral psalm. It's a good psalm, right? It's a psalm that keeps us centered and focused on the Lord. And so if you would, I'm gonna read this and I'm not sure what version you have, but is it going to be on the screen? No? Okay, great. Then I'm going to read my version and you read yours. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are thankful for your word that has stood the test of time. We thank you, O Lord, that as we read this psalm, as we read the Old Testament, we recognize, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ read these psalms himself. That these are words that he stood on, that shaped and formed his heart and his life. And so, Lord, we pray that our lives too, our hearts too, would be shaped and fashioned by your word. And so may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There's an interesting cadence to Psalm 23 that when you don't notice it, it's, you know, it's kind of hidden in there, but once you notice it, you're like, oh yeah, that tracks. I get what's happening there. Right? That makes sense. Not only does it make sense to what's happening in Scripture itself with the psalm, but it makes sense to what happens in our lives of faith, what happens in the world around us as we live life, as we come to know God or come to places where we need God. Suddenly, this begins to make and so let's just dive in. First, the Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, for the longest time, I grammatically didn't get it. Okay? When I was a kid, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want it. I don't want him. I don't want it. That's what it sounded like to me. I don't know if that's ever sounded like that to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? Now you can't unhear it, can you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There are times, aren't there not times, when the Lord is just leading and you say, I shall not want. I shall not want that, Lord. Where you shall lead me, I shall not want to follow. Right? I shall not want that. But as we look at this, of course, you know, I shall not want. I shall not be in a state of want. I will lack for nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. As you've lived your life and gone through, you have recognized that perhaps you have lacked for what you want. But you have not lacked for what you need. And more often than not, I am willing to lay down a non-United Methodist wager that you have had more than what you've needed. Because the Lord is our shepherd. The good shepherd, as Jesus calls himself in John chapter 10. And a good shepherd not only wants his sheep to stay alive, he wants his sheep to thrive. He wants his sheep to have abundance. If God didn't want us to have abundance, he would have placed us on a rock with nothing else to keep us alive. You know what I mean? But all this beauty and creation and wonder and mystery and majesty that God has given us in this world, he wants us more than just to live, to be alive. it's not just pastures. This isn't mown down hay. This is new growth. This is a place of lushness, a place where growth is happening and newness is coming. God leads me to these pleasant places where it continues to grow in abundance. And here, he makes me lie down, is what it says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Have you ever been in such a hurry that you skip right over God's blessings? You're always looking for the next best thing, right? And it's not bad. It's just we're looking for God to do the next thing. Where are you at, God? You know what I mean? What's happening? And the Lord's like, if you could just, sit down for like a second, you are going to see some wonderful things. I mean, think about our society, the way that we live now. You know what I mean? If you track back over history, if you read history, human beings have never been good at just relaxing, okay? Don't think back on olden times and be like, wasn't that wonderful that they were just able to sit around and not do anything? You know what I mean? All the modern conveniences, they didn't have to struggle with all this. And the calendars were clear and all of it. No. You look back over any period of history and everybody's busy. It's just human nature. To fill the void. And here scripture is very clear. The Lord will not let us want for anything, and he's going to make us lie down in green pastures, right? He gives these opportunities to do so. Lie down in these fervent fields, these places of growth. He leads me beside still waters is what it says. That word leads is to draw one or bring one to a place where they are able to refresh themselves. That's what that word lead means there. And so he brings them beside still waters, these resting, restoring, refreshing places. There are times when I read this psalm or when I will look over scripture and I'll think to myself, I'm missing something. You know what I mean? Because the Lord supplies. The Lord gives graciously and abundantly. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And sometimes I feel like I'm missing something. And you all are much holier than I am, so I'm just going to say this. You probably don't understand what I'm saying when I say this. There are so many blessings that I have a tendency to simply ignore because they didn't come the way I wanted, the way I hoped for, or in my time. And so when they come, right? Before they're here, I fret and I fuss. The Lord is sitting me down beside cool, still waters, and I'm kicking my feet in them because I'm just anxious. And then when it comes, I say, well, thanks, Lord. Y'all are much better than me. You don't do anything like this. You know what I mean? You all are patient and holy and you know God's timing perfect. Now here's the thing. These things that are in these first few verses, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all of these things, this is just open to
granted and given all of these good and wonderful gifts. He has given rest. He has given hope. He has given growth. He has given us all that we need. And that's not just his children. That's not just the Israelites. That's everybody. God has given us all. Restores my soul, it says. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. God is willing that all should come to righteousness, that all should come to a place of salvation. God is willing that all would be led in righteousness, that all souls would be restored. The call goes out to all that they should answer. Valley of the shadow of death. you will walk through a place where the veil of death hangs hard on you. And it's not because you've done something wrong. It's because that's the life that we live. And why? There's a little thing, and you probably don't know about this. It's three letters long. It starts with an S and it ends with N. Okay? Sin. This world is broken. those who would seek that the waters would be churning for me, or the pastures would be dead for me. You prepare a table of abundance right in front of their faces. You anoint my head with oil. In the Old Testament, you can see certain times when God, when people were anointed, they were chosen ones. It was a sign of God's presence. Sign of God's Spirit coming upon them. The cup overflows. That word cup literally means to contain. And so it's just a funny, it's a funny way of saying it. The thing that contains stuff can't contain it because there's too much stuff. You've given me more than what I could possibly want. Surely, verse 6 says, surely, every way, goodness and mercy now, if we think about what which God has us in the midst of the sorrow and strife and difficulty and enemies and brokenness that is there, that we truly see where our life is and what we need and to whom we belong and why that is so important for our life, because it is our life. Here's the thing. I didn't go through one piece of scripture here today that you weren't thinking to yourself, well, I don't get that. I don't think that's right. No, you know what I mean? You're like, okay, Pastor, get to your point. You know what I mean? Like, let's get somewhere with this. You know what I mean? I totally get that. I totally understand, because you all know this scripture. You're there. You understand. You've lived this scripture. You have been in places of just feeling like God has got this. This is wonderful. Glory to God. And you've all been in places of brokenness, places of strife and sorrow where it feels like the world is simply caving in on you. And you have turned your heart to God knowing that He is the only answer. The thing is, it doesn't happen just once. This is a life lived of bringing glory to God in the midst of the sorrow and the strife. Sometimes I think the church missed the witness boat on this whole corona thing. Right? Because, unless you don't want me to, I'm going to come back next week. But then I'll be out of your hair, and you don't have to have me back after that, so I can say what I want. Life was no longer your own. Period. not the paths of righteousness, it's God.